Turning for our scripture reading today to the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. I thought we'd read the whole chapter, the whole of chapter 6, giving special attention to verses 10 through 12. Paul says here, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the Lord, in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he's a slave or free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no partiality with him." These next two verses especially. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, only you can really open our hearts to know what it means to love you with a love incorruptible. You have said that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But we are so tempted to play with your commandments, and only by your Spirit will your law properly kill us, so that we might live again. And for this we pray, and we ask for your Spirit to be powerfully upon us in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to Grand Prairie a little more than a year and a half ago was interesting for me on a number of levels. Some of which you would not know about, I think. I've always been pretty strong. You might not think so, but I have. I grew up on a farm, and I forked an awful lot of you-know-what. I could beat a lot of guys in an arm wrestle. Bigger guys. Of course, that was when I was younger. But it's actually hard to grasp that not only are you getting older, but it's making a difference on the coast, I didn't notice it so much for some reason. And then I come here, and there are a lot of young, strong guys working in construction and concrete. I get to know guys like Travis and Dale. Dale gives me some pointers on arm wrestling this past summer, and when he's done, he says, "You got a good arm." Yeah, it didn't break. My boys all beat me now too, except for Grant. Give it a couple of years. The interesting thing about all of this is simply that it gets us thinking about the whole matter of strength. How do we tend to understand strength? What does it mean to our world to be strong, even powerful? Some people think about Arnold Schwarzenegger's biceps before he got old. Or even now, I don't know. Others go deep. And they think about strength of character, and they talk about those who went from rags to riches through hard work. Most will probably talk about the influential, the guys with money and connections, the movers and shakers, perhaps especially the backroom guys for whom the talking heads are nothing but puppets. What does the Bible reveal about strength? Goliath was almost 10 feet tall. He could have picked up little Arnie like this and shaken him till everything came off. One little pebble dropped. Nebuchadnezzar had built the greatest city and kingdom on the earth, taken all the gold of the nations, even the temple of God when he judged his people. He did not give God glory. 7 years he crawled on his hands and knees like an animal till God restored his sanity and he praised the Lord of heaven. Proverbs 21, verse 1, "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hands of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will." The Bible says God is strong. At the end of Psalm 9, David prays, "Arise, O Lord, put the nations in fear, O Lord. Let them know they are but men." The Bible says that we are all but men. Only in the Lord are we strong in any way that matters. Are you strong? Are you strong in the Lord, or are you running in your own strength? And how would you know? How can you be truly strong? Strong in the Lord. Well, our theme is simply that. Be strong in the Lord. And we'll open up the question, how? We have 3 points. Know your weakness. Know your enemy. And use your knees. Our first point is know your weakness. And you might ask, well, why do you start there? That's not even mentioned in the text. No, it's not stated, but it's assumed. And it's an assumption we need to deal with. We need to recognize. How important is it to know your weakness? Again, just on a personal level, for many of us, it is absolutely necessary, because only then will we ask for help. My wife says, "I never ask for help." She actually chides me on it. But you're wrong. Two occasions, I'm willing to ask for help. When I believe it's really important for somebody else, and when I know absolutely for certain I can't do it myself. And for many of us, it's probably the same. We will not ask for help unless we know we cannot do it ourselves, whatever it is. So that brings us to the second question. How important is it to ask God for His help? I just want to say it's all important for all. All important for everything. But especially on spiritual things. Especially for understanding truth. What does Paul say? 1 Corinthians 2, he says, the man without the Spirit does not understand the things of God. He can quote the whole scripture and not understand the things of God. Even resisting sin, even resisting obvious sin. Romans 8, Paul says, if we are led by the Spirit, we will not be slaves to sin. We can't do these things without God. It's in His strength or it doesn't happen. And if we can only resist obvious sin by the strength of the Spirit of God, then therefore also penetrating to the truth of and resisting more hidden sin is also only by God. It's exposed only by God. We're given strength only by God, only by His Spirit. Being effective for the kingdom of God is not happening apart from the power of God. We must ask, even plead to God for help. And not a little hand. Here, let me give you a hand of that a little bit for a second. Not a little hand now and then. But for a new heart upheld by His Spirit day by day. Our own spirit. For our own spirit to be indwelt by the gift of the Spirit of God. For a door upon the lips of our hearts. Because I tell you of what the heart is filled, the lips pour out. We need to ask God for a power that can say, get thee behind me, Satan. Even when it's one of His own people who are opposing His truth. We need God for a will that will cast down our sinful pride right down into the gutter with the rest of this will, where it belongs. Not happening any other way. Absolutely necessary to know our weakness. Without the help of God, without the power of God, without the presence of God, without the gifts of God, without the full armor of God that He gives and He alone gives, we lose. We have no hope at all. And we receive these only by asking, and asking not once, but continually, knowing always our need. And that's humbling. That's humbling. And that's why God shows that to all those whom He loves. I was put in mind of Psalm 30 where David cries out. He says, when I felt secure, I said, I'll never be shaken. O Lord, when You favored me, You made my mountain stand firm. There's a guy running in his own strength. But when You hid Your face, I was dismayed. To You, O Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. God Himself reveals our need so that we will call upon Him. Knowing our weakness is so important, both for our strength and for God's glory. We read earlier from 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul says, God, take away this thing that makes me feel so weak. He actually calls it a messenger of Satan. You know, it struck me as I was reading. I think it was an insight, so I'll probably preach on it sometime. Something new all of a sudden from the old. A messenger of Satan. And we always argue, what is that? Was that sight? Was that poor speech? You know, it seems like sometimes Paul was competing with guys that just talked right over top of him. And people said, wow, he's not a very good speaker. He writes big letters, but he's not a very good speaker. Was his speech not good or was his eyes not good? And we'll talk about that and argue about that. And sometimes I'll think it's a sin temptation because it's from Satan. No, all of a sudden I'm thinking today, That doesn't matter so much. Maybe that's why it's not given. It's a messenger of Satan. That's the point. It's a messenger that is given to make you at least feel weak in the things of God. Paul's trying to say, take it away from me, God. Give me power. And God is saying, nah, I think I'm going to leave that. Because you need to know your weakness and your need for me. And then you'll be strong. Chapter 1, verse 9 of the same letter. Paul's talking about all the struggles and trials they had as apostles. And he says at one point, indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. There's your strength. Philippians 4, 12, 13. Paul says, I have learned the secret of being content in all situations, well fed, hungry, plenty, or in want. What was that secret? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Till we have learned and rely on God in truth and humility, we are hopeless. And I'll tell you what, we are Satan. We are Satan. Just as much as Peter was. Ask yourself, was Moses strong? Yeah, he was. Not at first. No, first he went out on his own strength. He killed an Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Next day he went out, saw two Israelites fighting. He said, brothers, don't do that. And they're in his face, who made you ruler over us? He says, oh. And he flees all the way across the desert. He stays there for 40 years. It took God 40 years to properly humble him and teach him his need for the power of God. But then look out. Not because he's running in his own strength. Miriam and Aaron opposed him. He let God take care of it. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they opposed him. He said, come on, let's go to God. Let's let God decide this. Now he's strong. Invincible. Was Peter strong? Yeah, I think Peter was a very strong man. I love Peter. It wasn't at first. Oh Lord, even if all of these desert you, I will not. I'd go to death for you. A few days later. I swear I don't know him. Took Jesus asking three times after he rose from the dead, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Took the outpouring power of the Holy Spirit falling upon Peter before he one day stood up in an assembly where people were speaking against the word of God. And he said, men of Israel, these men are not drunk. This is from the prophet Joel. Was Paul strong? Yeah, he was. Not at first. From a Pharisee, not just any old Pharisee, first among his brothers in use of the law of God, from a Pharisee, the law of God and the power of the Spirit had to kill him. And then in God's strength, by the life of the Spirit, he could write to the Thessalonians, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle with you like a mother. We must know our weakness, that we are but men, so that we rely fully on God. The Spirit of God reminds us that we cannot make even one hair black or white. We don't even know what tomorrow will bring. We want to see the world seek God. Can we change even one heart? Can we change even one mind? When I see my ineptitude in this,
except I walk in the strength of God by faith, I would have quit 30 years ago.
Paul says, we water, we plant, God grows. Well, this chapter begins with a call to children, to parents, to slaves, to masters. If you read that with thought, you realize it's calling for the impossible. Impossible to anybody who's not walking in the power of God. Honor those in authority. Treat with love and respect before God those under your authority. You go, what's so hard about that? Well, here it is. That only comes into play when we think they don't deserve it. And the sinful heart always brings us there. And we actually take the moral high ground as we refuse them that honor. Or we think we do. We must know our weakness, or we are hopeless. When we are weak, we are strong. When we are weak, then we are the immortals, trusting in the God who raises the dead. Then the fruit of the Spirit hangs on our branches. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you think that most people would describe you this way? If not, better be some prayer coming. This fruit is there only because we put on the full armor of God. Not one piece, not three pieces, the full armor of God. I'll read it just for a second. I'm not going to develop it. Preaching on this is a lot of fun, just working on the pieces of armor, but I'm not going to do that today. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances taking up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Put it all on. Like Nehemiah and his men, don't take it off. Never take it off. But we only do that when we know what it is to be weak, to be but men. And that's some of the focus, but I want to give some attention yet to the enemy and to prayer, but let's go to look at the enemy. It strikes me that perhaps it is knowing the enemy that is as important as anything in coming to know our weakness so that we will call on God. The more you know about Satan, the more you know that you're hopeless without God's power. But even in God's strength, it is important to know our enemy. This is still our war. We are not inert bystanders as God builds his kingdom. We're his army. In this passage, I often focus so much on our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in heavenly places, because we want to get away from fighting with people. It's a very important text. I'm not saying I was wrong, just saying there's more. Many times I almost neglected to give attention, proper attention, to the naming of the enemy and his deceiving ways. We are warned in the power of God to take our stand against the devil's schemes. An interesting word, schemes. You know, the devil walks through that door, a dragon that can barely get through that door, and he's breathing fire. He's not very dangerous. You know why? Because I know I'm toast unless God is on my side. And so I'm asking God for help. But we read here about the devil's schemes. Ah. He doesn't always come like a dragon. Sometimes he does. I know some governments of the world serving the dragon who have killed millions. Now they look like a dragon. What's he doing out here in the West? I don't see any dragons. You see any dragons? I don't see any dragons. What I'm trying to say is we're not standing before a dragon who's breathing fire. We'd cry out to God and he'd be toast. We're facing the scheming, lying, silver-tongued murderer who slips into our houses and appears to us as an angel of light. And if we listen to him, we think we are the light of the world. That's confusing. Because we are. But only in Jesus. And this schemer, he doesn't just lead us astray by tempting us by immodesty. Though he'd really like to, and he tries hard to. He doesn't just fight against the kingdom of God by promoting the gay agenda. Though he does that too. He strokes our pride. You know what? I think more than anything else, he strokes our pride. He makes us like the Pharisees. God, I thank you, I'm not like the other men. He even appeals to the Word of God. All some people hear is, don't judge, ever, anything. All other people hear is, the spiritual man judges all things. You know what? The Satan can use either one of these just as well. Take it in isolation. He makes us fools running in our own strength, failing to put on the whole armor of God. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. What caused Joseph Smith to throw off the authority of the church, reject the clear teaching of the Scripture and the creeds, start what has become the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints? Boy, that's a nice sounding name. Gotta be the light of the world. What caused Charles Taze Russell, by the way, if you want to look at some of these cults, notice that they all rose about the same time, about the middle of the 19th century. You wonder, what was going on there? That's beside the point. What caused Charles Taze Russell to throw off the authority of the church and the clear teaching of Scripture and the creeds and start what has become the Witnesses of Jehovah? Not quite as good a name, because I think we're Witnesses of Jesus, but here's the thing, they all appeal to Scripture. And they've memorized it. I have met missionaries at the door. Yeah, I'm ashamed to say it. They have memorized the Scripture better than I had. Now, maybe they didn't know the same passages, but they certainly knew some passages I didn't. At least the words, not the meaning. We could go on and on. By the devil's schemes, we are tempted in one direction into complacency and even licentiousness, the grace of God becoming a license to sin. In another direction, we're tempted into legalistic righteousness, becoming fault finders, dividing the church, which is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. God save us from such things. Give us courage and faith to stand against it. Well, what are we going to do? Well, there's one thing that we can do in this warfare, this not against flesh and blood warfare, that is perhaps more powerful than everything or anything else, and that is to pray. Use your knees. On your knees, you are the most powerful warrior in the world. You have no idea how much I wish I had the eloquence and the memory and the ability of the great teachers of the church. Some of my colleagues, they wouldn't even have paper in front of them. They'd just be standing there appearing totally vulnerable and just, there it is. I wish I could do that. And they're not just good at that. They are good at putting stuff together. I love listening to them. They're amazing. You have no idea how often I wish I was that eloquent, that able to put stuff together. But I don't. What do I have? What do you have? You and I have just as many knees as they do. And probably more time to be on them. Paul says here, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests for all the saints and also for him. Now, why would he call us here, as so often, to pray? Because it's so powerful and effective. We're talking about the schemes of the devil, principalities and powers in heavenly places. Only the power of God is going to overcome that. And I can see all of this, and I can sometimes cry out to God, Lord, I don't see it. I'm praying, but I don't see it. Where is your power? Take your hand out of your, you know, whatever that is. Vest. I don't see it in my life. I don't see it in the life of others. But faith believes. Sometimes faith says, Lord, help my unbelief. But it always believes. Ephesians 1:22, God put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him as head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Faith believes this and calls on him and trusts. And doesn't lose near as much sleep as I have the last couple of days. James says, the prayer of a righteous man avails much. And he uses Elijah, the man who prayed and the rain didn't come for 2 or 3 years. He prayed again and it rained buckets. James uses Elijah and he says he's a man just like us. He prayed. He says, that's your call to prayer. I'm like, wow. Do you believe? Psalmist in, no, I could go back. Let me go back to that. He uses Elijah, but he also says, the prayer of the righteous avails much. That's still James in the same place. The prayer of the righteous avails much. So sometimes, you know, we'll ask ourselves, I'll ask myself, well, what does it mean to be righteous? Is that the problem? Am I not righteous enough? Well, don't make it so big. What is righteous? It's hate sin, flee to Christ, put away pride. It's not that hard. Hate sin, flee to Christ, put away pride. And your prayer will be powerful. Psalm 136, the Lord hears the humble, the proud he knows from afar. The scripture shows everywhere the power of prayer. People healed, demons cast out by prayer. In Acts 4, Peter and John were arrested, and after being released, they went out back to the believers. And they and the believers prayed together in thanksgiving, and they said, Lord, you have heard their threats. Now enable your servants to speak your word boldly. And when they had finished, the whole place was shaken, and they were given the power of God to speak the word boldly. Praying in the Spirit is not saying unintelligible things. It's praying in the name of Jesus on all occasions, according to the will of God, for all the saints, also for the ministers of God, that words of truth may be given, making known the mystery of the gospel fearlessly. In the end, the best way to stand against the devil's schemes is to turn your back on him and use your knees in prayer to God, because in the Lord you will be invincible. Amen.